You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to ICS Church. My name is Chad, one of the pastors here. And here in the Philippines and countries around the world, it is Father's Day. So if you're a father, happy Father's Day to you. If you are near your dad right now, give him a hug, a high five. And we want to take a moment right now just to pray for all the dads, all the fathers. So if they're there, please go ahead and get near them, put your hand on their shoulder. If they're not there, I'd love for you just to agree with me right now. And let's pray a prayer of blessing for all of our dads today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, first of all, for being the ultimate Father that any of us could ever need. You loved us so much that you were willing to do all things so that our relationship with you could be restored. So thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior and Redeemer of our lives. Right now, Lord, we also want to thank you for giving us our earthly fathers. Thank you, Lord God, that through them, we're able to experience life here on earth. Lord, we pray right now that you would continue to grant wisdom, guidance, and the blessing of health and strength, provision to each of the dads right now. We ask Jesus that even in this time of difficulty, where many of them may be carrying the heavy burdens over families and other concerns, Lord Jesus, just grant them your grace, fill them with your Spirit, and allow them to experience the joy that is in you every day. Help them, Lord God, to fulfill their role as husbands, as fathers, and as priests of their homes, so that your name would be glorified, not just through their own life, but as well as to the life of the people around them and everyone who comes in contact to them. Help them, Lord God, to grow deep in you and to continue to shine your light wherever they go. We thank you for our fathers. We love them. We commit them to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Happy Father's Day to my dad as well, Dad Abe, as you're watching today. All right, well, we're going to get into the Word today, and the title of the message is Clouds, Fires, and Detours. Clouds, Fires, and Detours. Here is one truth that all of us, regardless of race, age, or creed, could probably agree upon. Learning from someone who sees beyond what we see helps us navigate through difficulties. Come on, if you agree with that, hit the like button, the thumbs up, the heart. This is just a truth statement. It's a fact, right? All of us go through journeys. All of us go through situations in life that definitely benefit from someone or something that can see beyond what we can see. I think one of the most practical ways that I've experienced this, and those of you who drive on roads, you know, your cars or motorcycles have experienced this yourselves, is through the use of technology, specifically the global, you know, GPS, global positioning system, satellite maps, better known as at least, you know, Google Maps, or here in the Philippines, Waze, right? You're familiar with that? If you haven't gone out yet because, you know, you don't have work or anything like that, we don't get to use it as much. But remember how useful this is whenever we go out and we have a destination and we need to get there as soon as possible. Now, Metro Manila is known for its traffic. We are infamous for our traffic here in this city. So this has proven quite helpful so that we could find unusual routes to get to our destination faster, quicker, and avoid either traffic or delays caused by construction or sometimes road accidents along the way, or sometimes even closed roads that we are just not aware of. If these applications are updated and the information is real time, it benefits us greatly the moment we are on the road. And so that's something, that's not someone. But as we go through journey in life, you know, those of us who are younger, it helps whenever somebody who's older has gone through experiences that we face, especially if it's difficult ones, whether it's in the area of business, personal relationships, work, or school, you know, it helps to go to somebody who's gone through it before you, before us, to get their advice, to get their insights, so that hopefully we will avoid the pitfalls and problems that they experience themselves and not repeat it and be better this time around. It helps, right? That's true for anybody, regardless of your religion, regardless of your status or social class. It doesn't matter where you're from. This is just a truth that all of us face. In many ways, this is similar to our walk with the Lord, you know, as Christians. So for those of us who are followers of Jesus, those of us who believe in God, through Jesus Christ, this is actually a truth statement as well. But more specifically, when we talk about our journey in life, here's the idea that I want us to talk about today. We can succeed by trusting God's direction and leadership. Who doesn't want to experience success in life, right? All of us do. We want that, especially now where the situation here and around the world is, it's something that none of us have ever experienced before in our lifetime. So we need guidance. We need to know, how can we be successful in the season of change? How can we be successful even in the new normal, whatever that new normal looks like? The good news is God is with us. And as we have learned so many times before, whenever we read in Scripture, whenever we look at the life of Jesus, you know, God's desire is for those who follow Him, actually anybody, to experience the fullness of life, to experience success in life that He has designed for us to live. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. How can we actually experience this? How can we get those directions? How can we experience His leadership? Because those are the things that are important for us to experience that kind of success in life, in relationship, in business, in school, in all areas of our life today. So we're going to go dive into the Old Testament again today. We're going to go into the book of Exodus. Last week we talked a little bit about this. In fact, it's the experience of Israel after they were set free from Egypt. So we're going to track back a little bit more, and we're going to go from the very beginning, right at the point where Israel had just been released by the Empire of Egypt to go and pursue the land of promise. Now, we're going to go from in chapter 13 of Exodus, beginning with verse 17. It says here, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. Now, let's pause here for a moment. That's kind of unusual. If you have a destination, if you want to get to somewhere, whether you have to drive together, you're going to walk together, you always want to get the fastest route, right? We don't want to spend too long on the road because we want to get to our destination, whatever that is. So it's kind of unusual that after God had fulfilled the prayer request of the nation of Israel for them to experience freedom from the oppressive empire of Egypt, God now directs them on a longer route towards the promised land instead of taking the fastest route to get there. Now, the fastest route is actually via the coast so that they could reach Canaan or the promised land. That's their direction. But instead, God would take them down to the desert. No, this was far. So this is actually a detour that He was going to direct them. Have you experienced that in your life where you planned to go somewhere and you were following a map, and all of a sudden, what you thought was a shortcut was actually the longer way around? Well, for them, it wasn't an accident. This was intentional. They didn't accidentally go the longer route. God directed Moses, who directed the nation of Israel, to take this route. Now, why did He do this? We're going to go to that in just a moment. here it is. Continuing on in the same verse, he says, God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Now, there it is. So God states here the reason why he rerouted what the usual route was that the nation of Israel could have taken, which would have been shorter, but, it may have been faster, but it could have caused them to relent and to shrink back and decide, you know what, this is not worth it. I just want to go back home. So verse 18 says, so God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. So two things that we can observe from this. First of all, God sees beyond what we see. We need to know this. We need to know that God sees beyond what we see. Just like what we stated earlier, there are some things that God instructs his children, his people to do. Even Jesus and his followers, you know, he told them specific instructions and commands that they were supposed to do. And many times when he would instruct them, this didn't make sense to a lot of them. And I'm sure for Moses, he's probably scratching his head for a point and thinking, man, this is kind of like a longer route that we're supposed to go. I mean, he didn't know exactly. God didn't tell them that it was Canaan that he was bringing them to. He just told them, I'm going to lead you to a land of promise. But I'm sure if he would find out in hindsight, he could have realized, man, we could have taken the shorter route. Why didn't we do that? And the reason why is, here it is. You know, we found out here. God said he knows. He knows. He sees what could possibly happen. And sure enough, you know, he said, you know, if these guys would encounter opposition, they might just decide, you know what, it's not worth the sacrifice. It's not worth the effort. Let's just go back to Egypt. You see, the shorter route would have taken them around the coast. And along the coast, there were actually a lot of military outposts under Egyptian rulership. So that would have been pretty difficult for the Jewish nation to be trying to escape Egypt and then encountering along the way possible opposition to them escaping. And also on that main road or highway, this was a frequently traveled highway by different, it was a trade route. So it's possible that other groups of people that were coming back and forth to and fro to Egypt would have encountered them as well. And that would have made it more difficult for them to experience. God knows what is to happen. And secondly, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows that when we encounter at some point some difficulty in life, there would be a threat for us just to shrink back and to decide, you know, I'm just going to give up instead of moving forward. In fact, when the nation of Israel was already in the desert, later on, that's exactly what would happen. You know, when they were faced with the Red Sea and they were caught after the nation of Egypt pursued them and cornered them, they said, you know, why did you bring us out here, Moses? They started complaining. Did you bring us out here to die? Is that why you brought us out? And a little later on, even after God delivers them from that, while they're in the desert, they start to complain to Moses and grumble to Moses and say, you know what? It would have been better for us to be back in Egypt. God knows us inside and out. I mean, one of the things that puzzles me is God had just performed a miracle over the nation of Israel. He was now leading them and directing them to the land of promise. But apparently, they have short-term memory. They are quick to forget the goodness of God, the miracles that God provides to bring them where they are. I mean, he already answered their prayers, and yet such is the nature of men and women, right? We have a tendency to forget the goodness of God. But because God knows us better than we know ourselves, he wants to spare us from the possibility as much as possible of not being able to fulfill or experience the promises that he has for us. So in this specific instance, what does God do? He reroutes their direction because he knows even at the slightest opposition, they may just easily give up. And instead of attaining, experiencing, and possessing what God had promised, they might just end up turning their backs and going back, being satisfied being a slave. So God had a better plan. It was a plan that Again, if we look at it, doesn't seem to make sense because it's the longer route and it seems a more difficult journey, a longer journey. And yet through this, God would allow them to experience His presence, His provision, His protection like never before. And He would see that, we would see that come to pass even in this journey. So we need to ask ourselves today, you know, the things that God is asking us to do, are we willing to actually trust Him, even in situations and circumstances that may seem not nonsensical? You know, it's like, man, this is just so out of sync with what I think should be done. But if we believe that God knows better than we do, then the level of trust needs to shift from us and our knowledge to God and His omniscience. The moment we do that, then we can experience His direction, His leadership towards success. You know, I'm thankful that Moses decided to trust in God. I'm thankful that the nation of Israel, despite their grumbling, despite their complaining, continued to follow God in the process. And in doing so, you know, we can read in the stories later on about God's deliverance, protection, and provision for them. So we need to get that sorted out in our own minds and our own hearts. For us to experience success in life, in relationship, in our work, in our business, in our school, as Christians, we need to learn to trust God, His instruction, His direction, and His leadership, because He knows more than we do. He knows us more than we know ourselves, and He sees things beyond what we ourselves can see. Our perspective is limited, but God's perspective is not. And as soon as we put our trust in that reality and in that fact, the easier it will be for us the moment we face difficulties and challenges, such as the ones that we're experiencing right now, if we know that God is the one in control and God is the one that is leading us. And so this is what they did. This is what they did. One of the other interesting things that we'll find in this passage, you know, as they're going through this journey, is a statement that was made years ago, decades ago, before Israel was ever to experience this kind of freedom. There was a man by the name of Joseph, who was the second most powerful man in Egypt decades before Moses was ever born. In fact, God used him to save Egypt from famine, and as a result of this, also saved the nation of Israel, because Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob, the founding father of Israel. And it was through him that his own family was saved. But through the process of years, decades, as Israel grew in number in Egypt, the pharaohs that changed, that followed after, forgot about that part of history, that it was actually this Jewish man who brought salvation to their empire. And at that point, the Jews now became a threat to the empire of Egypt. And so the pharaohs worked them harder and were more harsh to the Jewish population that was then occupying them. The beauty about the statement that Joseph makes is that he already in faith declared what would possibly come. And so we want to read from verse 19. It says here that Moses took the bones of Joseph. He had been dead for decades with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, Joseph, before he died, God will certainly come to help you. When he does, you must take my bones with you from this place. This is a profession of faith. You know, even at the threat of death, even though, you know, at that point, while Joseph was still alive, the relationship between Egypt and the Jews were fine. It was good. He still knew that this was not the land of promise that God gave to his father. And he declares in faith, God will certainly come to help you. He has already witnessed this because God used him as an instrument of salvation over his own family, over the nation of Egypt, and the surrounding nations as well. But he also knew God's promise over Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that there were going to be a powerful nation, and God was going to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. This was a promise that God had given. And so just before Joseph died, he declares in faith, hey guys, remember, when it's time for us to move out, our people, our nation, make sure that you bring my remains along with you. That is such a huge statement of faith. Because even in death, Joseph is saying, even though I've not tasted it, I've seen it, my confidence still rests in God, that what he who promises is faithful and he will fulfill it according to his time. So that even if I'm no longer around, my desire is that my remains would continue to be carried along where it needs to go. What have been prophesied over your life? Have you mentioned things? Have you ever declared things in faith that you believe God has promised over you, your family, your work, your school? If you have stopped, I want to encourage you today to keep declaring that in faith. When you profess, what you profess today can become your reality tomorrow. That's the truth. That's what Joseph did. He believed that God's promise was yet to be fulfilled for the nation of Israel. Not just for him, but for this nation. And so he says, hey, I'm going to declare this. And sure enough, decades later, that's exactly what happened. There are some things that God has promised over our families, our lives, our situation. You know, God has promised to be our provider, our protector, our deliverer, our guide, our salvation, our redeemer, our healer. And we need to constantly be declaring this over our circumstances, over our lives, over our families. Fathers, on this Father's Day, you need to declare this over your family, that you are blessed, that your family will experience the goodness of God. As the psalmist says, in the land of the living. This is a truth that we need to hold on to. Why? Because the God that we serve is a good God. And we need to continue to hold on to this in faith and declare it over our lives. This is the beauty of what was declared over the nation of Israel by a man who was near his deathbed. And decades later, we now see it being fulfilled in the generation and in the life of Moses. This is how good God is. And so continuing on, after they leave, in verse 20, it says, the Israelites left Succoth and camped at Ethan on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. This is amazing. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. Here's a true statement. Where God directs you, he also will lead you, right? God directs you, he will also lead you. This is the beauty about our God. When he gave an instruction to the nation of Israel, he didn't just tell them where to go. Right now, there are many malls that are opening up here in Metro Manila. And, you know, whenever you go to a mall, sometimes if it's a new mall, you've never been there before, you ask, right, for directions. So you go to the guard or you go to the information desk and you say, hey, where is this shop? Where is the store? Or where is the bathroom? And how do they respond usually? They'll direct you, right? They'll tell you where to go. They'll say, go straight, turn left, or go up another flight of stairs, take the escalator. And sometimes, depending on where the store is, it kind of gets a little bit more confusing. So even though you've heard a direction and you're on your way, at some point you're lost along the way and then you have to ask again. Look for another guard, a worker in the building, and say, hey, can you please direct me to this place? Do you know the beauty about our God? He doesn't just direct us. He doesn't just give us instructions about what to do or where to go. He actually accompanies us. He accompanies us by leading us. That is what we read in this passage just now. It tells us here that even as they were along the way, as they went along the way, there would be a pillar of cloud during the day to guide them and a pillar of fire at night to continue to lead them. These were symbols of God's presence. God wanted to impress to the nation of Israel, you know what? I heard you when you prayed in Egypt, and now I've delivered you through signs, wonders, and miracles. Now here is a symbol of my presence just to constantly remind you that I am with you. I am with you. Doesn't that give you confidence? I know it does give me confidence. You know, I'm more confident if there is somebody who's with me who knows the way. Right? I'm not just following a direction where to go. There is somebody that is instructing me and guiding me. See, there's a difference between somebody who tells you about a place and somebody who guides you and shows you where you are. They say there's a difference between tour guides, right, and travel agents. Because a travel agent can set your itinerary and set you off on your course, but a tour guide will accompany you and tell you the details and the backstories about all that you're experiencing and seeing. And that is what God is to those of us who will put our faith in Him. That's who He was to the nation of Israel, His own children. That's what we see happening here. Aren't you thankful that we have a God who cares enough to accompany us? He doesn't sit on a throne somewhere, you know, just say, okay, just ask what you want and I'll tell you what to do. Right? No, He says, no, I'm going to go with you. He doesn't just do that for the nation of Israel. He did that so clearly with us. The symbol, the clearest symbol of God's love and compassion and grace that He really wants to guide us was by coming on earth and being born as a man, living with us, interacting with us, loving on us, embracing us, hugging us, laughing with us, crying with us, and ultimately Jesus dying for us on the cross, resurrecting again. But it doesn't end there. This is how much God loves us, that even as Jesus ascends into heaven, He sends the Holy Spirit so that we would know that we're never alone. So however God functioned to the nation of Israel, it's the same thing today as Jesus brings that message to each one of us. You may be facing situations right now where you feel like, you know, I don't know what's up or what's down. I've been retrenched. I'm going through transition in my work. I don't know what's going to happen with my business. I don't know what's going to happen with the church. I don't know what's going to happen with my family, with my schooling. Everything is so difficult right now. Well, be assured, because God is with you. God is with you. Even for those of us who have not put our faith in Him, you know, God is with you right where you are. And all we need to do is to turn His direction and say, Lord God, if this is really who You say You are, that You're willing not just to direct me, instruct me, but to accompany me so that I'm not alone, I'm not journeying by myself, You can experience that today. Fathers, if that's you, you're overwhelmed with thinking about the provisions for your family. You're overwhelmed by the circumstances. Moms, kids, students, God is saying, I'm with you. I've heard your prayer. Here's the instruction. I'll reveal it to you in My word, but I'm going to do something better than that. I'm actually going to go with you in this journey. I'm going to travel with you so that you will know that you are not alone. You know, the beauty about the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, it wasn't just there to guide them or to remind them of God's presence. It was also there to be their protection. When the armies of Egypt caught up with the nation of Israel and they were between the Red Sea and the armies of Egypt, that pillar of fire served as the wall that protected the nation of Israel until they were able to safely cross the Red Sea. See, God doesn't just direct us. God doesn't just lead us by accompanying us. He also protects us. He also provides for us. He becomes our all-sufficiency as we learn in the nation of Israel and as we find in the story as they journey in the desert. This season may be like a detour for you right now in your own spiritual life, in your relationships. It may feel derailed. Your work might feel like, man, this is not what I planned. This is not what I was intending for this year to be. But the beauty about all these things is God was never surprised and God has never left you. He has always been with you every step of the way. And for us to experience this reality All we need to do is to turn to his direction and say, Lord God, I acknowledge you. Would you come and lead me? That's what it means to have Jesus as Lord. It's not just to learn about his instruction, but to recognize that he is our ever-present help. That the Holy Spirit is the abiding presence of God in our life today. If you're in that situation right now, you know the best thing to do is to turn towards him in prayer and invite him to lead you where you are. And I want to encourage you to do that right now. Join with me briefly right now as we turn towards him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you that we learn today from the experience of Israel, from the experience of many other disciples who followed Jesus, and even in the early church, that you love us so much that you would do all things so that we could experience your love, your grace, and your mercy. Instruct us, Lord, in the way to go. Help us not to deviate from it, and remind us that you're the one that's leading us, that you're the one that's accompanying us, that we are not in this alone. Because as soon as we acknowledge that and put our trust in you for those things, it is there that we experience success and fulfillment in life. Just like the nation of Israel experienced it, just like the disciples and the early church experienced it, we can continue to experience that in our life today. So I pray right now for every individual that is going through difficulty. Lord, come and clarify those steps. Assure them of your presence. Let your spirit be felt where they are. For those that are seeking clarity of direction, let that next step, Lord, be made clear. Grant them courage and confidence to trust in you for what lies ahead. Lord, for those of us who don't know you as Savior, you said in your word that if we confess our sins, you're faithful, you're just to forgive us of all our unrighteousness. And so if that's you right now, would you just tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my wrong behavior, of my unrighteousness, of my sin. And as you promised, I invite you to come and be my Savior, be my Master beginning today. This is what I pray and I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you pray that prayer today, or if there's something that we could help you with, let us know. Our desire here at ICS Church is to see you grow in the walk of faith that God is calling you to live. So send us a message. If you want to comment here on the stream or send us a private message, let us know. And our desire is to get back to you and help you grow in your walk with the Lord.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.